for just bringing us here by your grace. Thank you in Jesus' name that, you know, we're just here to hear you. We're just here to hear the word. We're just here to be comforted by the word. We're here to be strengthened in the word. We're here to rejoice and be grateful for truth and love. We're thankful, God, that you've called us with such a great calling. Matter of fact, as you said, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, to have us to awake to the vocation, that high calling, wherewith ye are called. Lord, help us to have ears that would be attentive to this. Lord, help us to not be like children anymore, but to grow up. God, to be that wonderful, mighty, mature son that, God, you have given everything for us to be. Lord, to honor you, Lord, to properly and rightfully, worthily, Lord God, to praise you for your great, great, great grace. Oh, and to magnify you the more and more, knowing, Lord, that it is not anything that we can do, that we are completely and solely the workmanship of your Son. Oh, and oh, the holiness, God, that we have been made holy in him, and the righteousness of God, hallelujah, that we have been made in him. Lord, thank you that you have set us apart, that we are not our own. We are yours. You purchased us with your beautiful blood, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May we just focus on and rejoice in and not be distracted from the blood on that mercy seat, because we are encompassed in your mercy. And may we praise you the more for it this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel 18. That's 2 Samuel 18. And we'll pick it up here just after David's son Absalom is killed by Joab. And again, that is 2 Samuel 18. We'll begin reading from the 19th verse. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, "Let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies." And Joab said to him, "Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." Then said Joab to Cushi, "Go tell the king what thou hast seen." And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, "But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi." And Joab said, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?" "But howsoever," said he, "let me run." And Joab said unto him, "Run." Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, "If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth." And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, "Behold, another man running alone." And the king said, "He also brings tidings." And the watchman said, "He thinks the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man and cometh with good tidings." And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, "All is well." And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king." And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" See, David knew that Absalom was one of these ones that was set out against him, that wanted his destruction. But David's heart was so upon his son. He said, "Is my son safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." See, Ahimaaz did not know. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do hurt thee be as that young man is. And the king was moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And he went thus as he said, O, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Now, so many things here, but today we see the two runners. And we see one runner, Ahimaaz, was a gifted runner, fast, so much zeal. But as we see here, he did not have a message. He wanted to partake in something, but so sadly, he did not have the knowledge. As Joab told him, he was not ready to witness. And brothers and sisters, God help us that that would not be us. He's thinking, you know, Lord, help me to always run with lips that are anointed with the knowledge. And may I always speak by the grace of God with the utterance of the Holy Ghost. And what I'm led to emphasize of the Lord today is all of us, and I mean all of us, need to know the truth. We need to know the Word of God. 1 Timothy 2:4, he said, I would that all men come to the full knowledge of the truth. We've quoted that many times before, and I thank the Lord. What that truly means is a fullness, the complete, the exact, the intimate knowledge of Jesus. To know Him. You think that's the calling of every man in this life. That is the requirement. And first off, it's that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now in 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible also tells us, as the sons of God, to study to show ourselves approved unto God. I thank the Lord. I thank my Father because of His great love for me. I want to be pleasing to Him. I want to be approved of my Father. I want to be a workman that rightfully divides the truth. Isn't that something? Again, this was Paul speaking to Timothy, and you know, he didn't tell Timothy, now get out there and do a lot of works, Timothy. And Timothy, you've got to really build like big churches. And Timothy, you got to get out there and get big organizations together. And Timothy, you've got to get out there and preach to every, you know, person the Word of God out there. He said, no, Timothy, this is what you need to know. You need to know the truth. You need to know the Word of God. I was thinking again how Paul had encouraged Timothy. He said, you know, there's great faith in you, son. Obviously, Timothy had heard the Word of God. He believed the Word of God. You can't have faith without hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He said, I perceive that same faith is in you that was in your mother and the same faith that was in your grandma. Praise be to God, you've got something, son. Not because of a bloodline naturally, but because of the blood of Jesus. But as Paul encouraged him, he didn't say, oh, that's great, you love the Lord, now just go out and be a missionary. He said, no, Timothy, you study the Word. You know the Word. And most importantly, know how to rightfully divide the Word. To be able to have it, praise God, line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept. What he was telling Timothy at that time is, Timothy, you need to know my gospel. Because what my gospel does that was given to me of the Lord is it brings all of the Word of God together. It brings all of the Word of God in the fullness of the mystery of Christ Jesus and the bride. You need to know this. And I thought about how wonderful it is that, you know, the Lord has given us a place over all these years that by his grace stands for the full counsel of God. We hear the whole counsel of God, praise be to God, every single time we get together. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have special events. We have the special event every time we get together. We preach the whole counsel of God. We preach the message of Christ Jesus and his bride. There is nothing but that. Praise the Lord. But brothers and sisters, to really know something, and you know this, to really know something, you have to be able to tell it. To really know something, it has to be yours in order to give it. You must be ready to give every man an answer. I thank God because of his grace, there is a hope that lies within you. I thank God because of his grace, you know what? You're not your own. You are his. I thank God, and I know this for my own life. I have been in places I shouldn't have been. I have been caught up into things that I shouldn't have been caught up in. But God in his great grace still testified through this vessel that somehow that thing got shut down. Somehow somebody came out and said, hey, this ain't right, and you know it. Whoa! You know, it was like, my goodness. Because of the grace of God. Amen. I so appreciate how the Holy Ghost was poured out upon those disciples at Pentecost. I've sure enjoyed the study in John. You know, it tells about what power they received to tell the things that they knew. But you have to think about the disciples had an incredible message, didn't they? They were able to write by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost the Gospels and to tell the things which they had seen. But think about what you know. Think about the double portion that God has given to you. Think about, as the Bible tells you, what you have, exceeding great and precious promises. And then to think, praise the Lord, Lord. I have the ability, because of the grace of God, to represent who I am in Christ. To be able to go forth and to tell people by his grace, I'm called. I understand. There's been a proposal to my life to be in the bridal company. Praise you, Jesus. See, they sang about Eliezer, that wonderful, precious chapter in Genesis 24 of Isaac and his bride, Rebekah. Did you know that as that servant was sent forth to find the wife for Isaac, that servant was sent forth to their people? The servant wasn't sent forth to the world to find a bride. The servant was sent forth to the people of Abraham, the people of Isaac. And out from among those people, or the family, there was going to be a bride that was taken. See, just get with the story from the beginning, that that bridal calling, praise the Lord, is coming out from among the family of God. And thank you, Jesus, that's the exceeding great and precious promise that we have. See, may we truly be like the Berean saints. You know, Paul, he loved to preach the word of God, but he so loved to preach the word of God to ones that love the truth. You know, when he was stuck there with the Corinthians, it was hard for him because they were just like a bunch of children. Fighting about this and getting caught up with that. You could hear the groanings of Paul, Lord, if it be thy will, get me out of here. You know, I want to go to those ones that really appreciate, that are grown up, that want to feast on the strong meat. Not ones that you give strong meat to and they're throwing it around in one applesauce. You know, it's a truth. And that's why we're so graced and blessed in this place. And it's not because of anybody here. It's because of who's in the vessels here. And praise the Lord for his great grace. But see, Paul said, I love those Berean saints because when I preach them the word of God, they go back to their home and they search those scriptures to make sure that they're so, to make sure what I'm telling them is the word of God, to make sure by the grace of God, it's not just out of my lips, it's in their heart, that it's their gospel. See, and I believe that that truly is the evidence of those that are in love. They read the love letters over and over and over and over. I told you I was so graced to have a courtship with my wife. We were at distance. She was in Texas. I was in Colorado. We didn't have texting. We didn't have internet at that time. Can you imagine? And my dad, he couldn't afford all of the AT&T bills, so we had to write. And how I loved to get those letters. And it was so sweet, you know, and even the Lord encouraged me. As we became more serious and more serious, it wasn't just one love letter once a month. It wasn't just a love letter once a week. I would get two or three a week. There's two or three a day in here for you. And every time I got a love letter, you know what? I didn't read it just once and say, oh, that was great. No. You smell it. Put it on your head. You kiss it. And you read it over and over. And why did I read it over and over? Because I wanted to memorize the love that my lover had for me. I want to memorize the love for my lover to me. And what a comfort it is to my heart. What a joy it is to my life. But I'm telling you, even as I walk through this world, and I know you have the same walk, in a sense, the same fight, because it's the fight of faith. It's difficult. It's hard. And it gets more pressing. It gets more fiery. And the only thing that's going to take me along is love. Because otherwise, I want to quit. I want to, you know, revert to the default, which is back to my flesh to fight something. But man, when I walk in love and in the power of that love and assurance to me, my goodness, I want to memorize the love letters more and more to me. Now, they that know his love, they can tell it. 2 Corinthians 3:2. Basically, it says, be an epistle that is read of men. You know what I want by the grace of God in my life? When somebody sees me or knows me for very long, they just read Paul's gospel all over my life. Yep. And it's a real sweet testimony. It is a testimony that doesn't waste time. You either want to have that fellowship because there ain't anything else I'm talking about. You know those people who are getting married? Sisters, you know how you get a friend or something like that, they get engaged. They ain't talking about the weather. They ain't talking about a trip. They're talking about their wedding. Oh, she's always talking about her wedding. Well, that's all she's going to be captivated with. By the grace of God, that's the testimony I want out of my life. And you know what? Those that don't want that, they ain't going to hang around long. Oh, he's always talking about that. Do you remember our study in the Song of Solomon? That's why those daughters of Jerusalem, they were in that family, they were in that company, they had kind of a love. But that Shulamite, the bride, she was too in love for them. It bothered them. Well, can't you talk about anything else? Nope. You're just too much in love. You're bothering us. Are you trying to insult us? Can't you love somebody else just a little bit? Nope. That's our calling, brothers and sisters. Going over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm so thankful you love the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh my goodness. Do you know who you believe it? Amen. Do you know? I mean, do you really know? Well, in order to be persuaded, in order to be convinced that he is able to do everything in your life, you must know him. You must know him, the word. We must know this word. And thankful to God that the knowledge of him is getting the understanding from the scriptures. To know him, praise God, is to know his promises to you. It's thankful to God how we've heard over the years to know your birthright. Amen. You think about how this world so, you know, publicizes and the sensational is all of these kids or whatever of wealthy families. The kings, the tycoons, and all of that. And they become celebrities, not because they're gifted at all, but because they have money and they run around like a nut. It's the truth. But that's corruptible stuff. That's stuff that the thief is going to get, the moth is going to destroy. It's not even, the rust is going to have it. But you've got something from and of the one that has it all. Now, why wouldn't I want to know what I have? Isn't that something? Why would I want to be caught up into something temporal? You know, we could look at our bank account over and over and say, oh, look at how it's growing. Praise the Lord. Look at how it's diminishing. Praise the Lord. Can we be thankful in all things? Amen. Yeah, lift up my hand too. But you know, praise God. We need to know him. And what we need to know is his desire to you. What we need to know is his plan for us. Praise God, his provision, his will, his purpose, his power. And thanks be to God, what you really need to know, he's already given it to you. And what's, again, that's hindering it or holding it back, the way that it's unleashed in our life is through the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the one who takes the things of Christ and shows them unto you. What you already have, this birthright, he says, here it is. Here's what you have. And those that by faith have taken those steps to say, Lord, I want to know. Think of the things that you've begun to see. As he's taken you down that glory mine. I've mentioned that many times about that movie about the treasure and that fella, he went down into that cavern and, you know, he thought he saw all of that treasure that the United States had collected over all those years. I think it was called National Treasure or whatever it was. And, you know, he saw a little bit here and a little bit there, but you know what? There was this oil that was in these conduits that he saw the conduit and he said, oh, well, maybe there's a little more here. And he had a torch. Well, you got the torch, but are you going to allow the oil to light it up? And he touched that down to that oil. And you know the oil in the Word of God, it speaks of the anointing oil of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, even a, can you imagine a Hollywood movie could speak the high calling of God in Christ Jesus to you? And I'm sure those producers didn't have any thought of God. Matter of fact, any thought of God maybe they had was pretty much against God. But God for my life. And I'll tell you what, when I saw that fire shoot right down into that cavern and I saw all of those riches light up, I said, hallelujah. I'm telling you, something leaped in my heart as much as ever it leaps in my heart to say, Lord, that's mine. Because what's mine is yours. It is mine. And as I walk down through there, praise be to God, there's more oil that will light it up. There's more treasure, praise God. But isn't that just amazing? It's always got to be the Holy Ghost. There's no other way. You want the knowledge of this word. You want the knowledge of the truth. You want to stand and rejoice and say, man, I want faith like that sister. I want to believe God like that brother. Well, let me tell you something. It's all by the Holy Ghost. You'll never embrace really the plan of God. You'll never rejoice in the promises of God. You'll never just stand out there and say, Lord, I'm so thankful I understand the purpose and the provision and the power of God. Without the Holy Ghost, we are left just as the disciples prior to Pentecost. without the Holy Ghost, you're just like those disciples before they got to Pentecost. And how were they? They were afraid, they were confused, they were unbelieving, and they were ignorant, even though the word of God was preached to them. But as Jesus even said, because of that unbelief, because they were so immature, he said, you know what? I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot understand them at this time until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And that is the word of God. And if that doesn't speak to people to quit being hard about that necessity of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I pray for you. Because the simplicity in the truth is the simplicity of believe in the blood for your salvation. It doesn't change. God says it, just take it. You will only have power after the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And the power wasn't just to run around and to do things. The power wasn't just to preach. Because as we've read about this runner, unless you know what to say, you don't have anything to say. For them to preach the word of God, they have to know the word of God. Amen? Well, praise be to God. Think about even Timothy. Timothy was filled with the Holy Ghost. But what did Paul? He had to say, Timothy, you're afraid. You're even filled, but you're running in fear just like the apostles did. Timothy, stir up the gift. See, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God, but you need the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's why Stephen could be called and appointed to such a precious calling in being stoned right there in front of everybody because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. That's a testimony. That's a calling. That's why sweet Barnabas, he was the one out of all of those that was chosen to go on with Paul. Because why? Because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. There were many that were filled, but this guy was full. This guy was overflowing. Praise be to God. That's the guy. That's the one that's going to take the fullness. See, without the infilling, there is no abounding in the hope and the joy in believing God. His joy won't remain in us without the Spirit's continuing power. And only by the Spirit's love knowledge does he give you anything to say. Amen. You know, I'm thankful to God I didn't get here first. But praise be to God, I got something to say. Oh, yes, I do. Because by the grace of God, he's given me the knowledge of his message. I thank the Lord it's not hidden. No. No, it's not. It's made clear, it's apparent, it's accessible. It's so accessible that, praise God, a young man can walk godly in this wicked world. Can you imagine that? Think of how wicked this place is. A young man can walk godly by taking heed to the word of God in this world. Good soldiers, by the grace of God, there's no reprieve from battle anymore. There's none. I'm going to tell you right now, don't look for a day off. Don't. The battle don't end, especially to the culmination of when it does end. But I'm going to tell you something. That's the power of the Holy Ghost and the grace of God. Good soldiers, he endures you and endues you with power. And I praise God that we don't have to quit. We fight on. I thank the Lord that the reason it does that is because we take the word of God. And you fight because you study it. You fight, praise God, because by his grace you apply yourself to the word of God. You fight, praise God, because you know the word of God. Think about the ones you go to for comfort. Think about brothers and sisters that you would call to say, I need you to pray for me. Think about as the Lord. It's those, praise the Lord, that know the truth. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need to know the truth and know it now. We need to know it right now. We need to study that word. We can all have a zeal. But without the knowledge, we're just like the runner with so much energy and excitement. And I sure don't want to get to the king and have nothing to say. Huh? Do you know what the Holy Ghost does? He allows you to speak mysteries unto God. What could I tell God? What could I ever tell God? Well, by the Holy Spirit, I can speak mysteries unto God. A sun and a star can only shine to him. Comets can do this, and animals can do that, and creation does all these different things. But he created you. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants you to be full of the Holy Spirit. Because he wants you to speak mysteries unto him, sons. No, really, I was just rejoicing. I was thankful. I'm hearing things from my sons as they're starting to mature about things are beginning to click. Yeah. That's it. That's the man. That's everything. That's the fullness. That's what the Holy Ghost does in us. See, brothers and sisters, I don't want the same testimony over and over in my life. I don't. I thank God for all the victories, and I do need to remember them from time to time, and I needed them again this week. That, Lord, I do need to praise you for the wonderful, wonderful triumphs in my life. Because there's times I get so low, and there's times that my believing gets pretty thin. That I have to remember to count my blessings. Oh, and how he's blessed me. Huh? Yeah, I am that weak, okay? And I pray you are too. Because I'm having a good time in Jesus. But I don't want to just have that one testimony. I don't want to be that same recording. And praise God for the victory. But brothers and sisters, there is so much more. I want my testimony to be more and more of the depth of the gospel of Christ. The greatest witnesses and testimonies I have in my life that I receive are, yea, the deep things of God in Paul's gospel by his Spirit. When ones will call me up and say, oh, brother, this is what the Lord has shown me. Or rejoice in something like this or that. Oh, my goodness. May the first thing that people begin to see in us is an epistle read of men. Paul's epistle of the bridal message. May it be read of me by every man that they know that I've been with Jesus. That they know that, I'll tell you what, that is somebody maybe that's grown up in some things. I want to thank the Lord and say, you know, God, there be nothing else about my life but Christ in me, the hope of glory. There's a precious lady that was here for years. Her name is Sister McGuire. And I know every time I would say that, I could hear a groaning of thankfulness. Every time she heard, oh, Christ in you, the hope of glory, there was a stirring. And praise be to God, that was about the only thing those last maybe 10 years that she was here that you ever saw when you saw her. And I believe that's why, brother, when he met her for the first time, that's Jesus's lady. Who are yours? You're his. Praise God. He sure loves you. Oh, he loves you. And he's coming. He's coming, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again in your precious son's name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. And Lord, thank you how, again, you comfort us in the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us to know the truth. And Lord, let it just encourage us today that Lord, it's such a joyful thing to know you. You've done so much for us. It's not to pay you back. It's just to thank you. That, Lord, it's not in any type of a guilt thing. It's just to to praise you and to please you because you are so good to us. And Lord, the wonderful thing about knowing your truth is it's good for us. It's not only pleasing to you, it becomes pleasing to me. We grow up, hallelujah, and we become those sons that are so grateful for you and thankful to you and just realize the care that you've had on all of our lives while we were indifferent, while we rebelled, while we were unfaithful, while we murmured, while we turned away. But you never changed. You have stayed waiting for us. All of us as prodigals we have been or may even be at this time. And Lord, let us see you just waiting at the kingdom. Oh, son, come home. Son, come home, come home, come home. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the calling of the word of your grace. Because, oh, I see the coat that you have for me. And I see the ring that you're awaiting to put on my finger. I see, Lord, the feast, the family of God that rejoices for me to partake of who I am in Christ. But best of all, Lord, it's your beloved hug and your kiss. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that love. Let it burn within us today. Let it cause us to move this day. Yes, to come down to these altars and to pray, Lord, give me a desire to know your truth. To know you, that I don't just pass through these services, but praise be to God that the word of God passes through me and stays in me and changes me from glory to glory and causes me to want to hear the word every day, to read that word of God, to take just a little as I go to work or school and to say, praise you, Jesus, for your promises to me. Thank you, Lord, for this encouragement of your scripture, God, that I'm not just getting through, Lord. I'm praising you. I'm rising above. I have fed upon you. I'm in this furnace, but I'm glorying with the fourth one that's like the Son of Man. Lord, let us know that truth like that. Let it be the beating of our heart. Let it be every thought of our mind. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.